Good evening and welcome to A Closer Look. Did you know that the Lehigh Valley has more than 800 active and locally focused nonprofits in one of the most concentrated areas in the United States? Well, together we will take a closer look at what they do, who's leading them, and how are they helping our Lehigh Valley community? And more importantly, how can you, our listeners, get involved? My name is Laurie Hackett, and I'm Air Products Director of Community Relations and Philanthropy, and I am lucky enough to be so engaged with many community nonprofits, and I work side by side with them. Together, we have seen how much they do to support our community and move us forward. So let's take a closer look at the Century Promise. And tonight, my guest is the Executive Director of the Century Promise, Yusuf Dahl. Welcome, Yusuf.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A little bit of background about Yusuf for our listeners. Yusuf is also the co-founder of the Real Estate Lab in Center City, Allentown, and he was the founding director of the Dyer Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Lafayette College. He also has a master's in public administration from Princeton University. So those are pretty fabulous credentials, Yusuf.
Thank you.
The Century Promise, we've heard a little bit about it. It's just getting started in Allentown. We know that it's a cradle-to-career opportunity for Allentown School District students. And Yusuf, it has the word promise in it. So let's tell our listeners what the Century Promise is.
The Century Promise is a commitment from the community to the students that if they work hard and commit to their education, there will be a payoff. And unfortunately, that's not often the case today. And that's what the Century Promise is all about. It's that commitment, and we're excited to bring that to life.
And how will you do that? How will you reach students in Allentown to be able to get them on this track for success?
Well, so when you talk about reaching the students and also serving the students, what's unique about the Century Promise and our approach is it's fundamentally rooted in my background of innovation and entrepreneurship, both as a practitioner and as an instructor. And so we are truly starting from the student and working backwards, if you will. They are at the center of our mission and of our work. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of institutions of education and learning, that's not the position they start from, whether it's, you know, requirements they have to meet from a bureaucratic level, whether there's other considerations. And so, you know, we really want to engage the students in the communities, in the schools, but also engage their parents and their families, because, you know, one thing I know from my years as an educator, but also as a father, and we can't disentangle that as far as my contributions to this effort, because that's a very big part of my experience is watching my daughter and supporting her through her education. And it really does take a community. It takes a village to support students through the transition from secondary education to post-secondary education. And so we're not just engaging the students, we're engaging their families, and we're engaging the community.
So talk a little bit about that. I mean, it's a big job. It's an important job, especially with everything that's happening in education, the distractions that students have. Who else is with you at the table? Who else? You're one person leading this brand new effort. Who else is joining you in this effort?
So it's funny because I never shy away from the difficult task. In fact, so my daughter, when she would have math problems, you know, at the end of the chapter, there were always the optional problems that were a little bit more difficult. In our family, those were never optional, right? We lean into the difficult challenges. That being said, I'm also very much a pragmatist, and I'm realistic about my capabilities. And this problem certainly is beyond my individual capabilities to solve. But what attracted me to this opportunity and to this challenge are the folks who are committed to supporting it. And we're very fortunate to have as our board chair, Lee Butts, who, you know, really needs no introduction for all that he's done for the community. And so we have a great group of people around the table, from the new superintendent, Dr. John Stanford, you know, to yourself on our board of directors. I mean, we really have the people, and I would even say beyond just the people, the sense of urgency that this is something that has to be addressed now. And I'm confident with those group of individuals behind me, we will make a difference in the lives of many Allentown students.
You mentioned sense of urgency. What did COVID and the pandemic, what did that do to these efforts and to your planning?
I mean, obviously it disrupted it like so many efforts. But, you know, COVID also, I mean, not only did it exacerbate the inequalities and inequities, I also think it brought it home for a lot more people. For a lot of families who have done well in the economy, right? They're in good situations. I don't think they realize the level of inequities that exist in some of our communities and in school systems. But when it was brought to the forefront that, you know, some families really aren't able to study from home because there is no internet connection, there mm-hmm. is no, you know, private dedicated space where they're able to concentrate, I think it made this issue more salient to folks in the community who may not have that bird's eye view into this problem. And so we want to capitalize on that, right? We all, it's in our face. We know the challenges, the inequities. And so let's get to work solving them.
And it's a big job. And you are entrepreneurial, you're innovative, you're creative. Could you talk about, and I know it's very interesting, your background and what brought you to this and what it is in your background? I know you have done a lot of talking nationally about your journey from prison to Princeton. Could you share a little bit about that?
Well, at an even broader level, I have a very unique set of experiences as a student and as an educator. So a lot of my early education was self-taught. So I taught myself how to program computers. You know, I taught myself, you know, basic history and basic mathematics. And my first educational credential, as you mentioned, at 23, I was released from prison. So at 18 years old, I was sentenced to prison for 10 and a half years. And so when I was released at 23, you know, going to get a four-year college degree, it just wasn't realistic. At this point, I'm 23. I have responsibilities. I need to get moving. And so I secured a Microsoft certification. So I had prepared for that while I was incarcerated. And that certification, which cost me, say, $120 at the time and, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of self-directed studying, allowed me to secure my first employment. And that employer paid for my higher education degree, my first one. And I went to essentially an online university. So my first degree came from a non-traditional school that catered to adults returning to school. But as you mentioned, my last degree came from Princeton University. So, you know, I've experienced this from all angles, and that certainly informs how I'm engaging with students and with families and with the community, because there is no singular pathway. Mm-hmm. And we, for so long, have tried to shoehorn families into this one pathway. And quite frankly, that pathway, it's not working out like it used to be. Increasingly, families are having to spend more to acquire a college degree, and it's not paying off. Mm-hmm. Over half of recent college graduates have reported being either un- or underemployed.
Certainly, Yusuf, you took your future in your own hands. How will you inspire students through the Century Promise in Allentown to do the same thing?
So there's a quote that I don't know, learned when I must have been in my late teens, early 20s, but I repeat it often, and it's maintain responsibility, maintain control. So whenever anything goes wrong in my life, I first and foremost try to take responsibility, because the moment you relinquish responsibility is the moment you relinquish control to change it. And we have to empower families and students to take control of their education. And again, I have an interesting perspective on this. I remember one incident, you know, during my younger education years that stands out, and I was a terrible student, right? I mean, I was just a terrible student, but I was a young man and didn't have a lot of direction at home. And I remember the school district calling my mother in and telling them they wanted to put me in special education. And my mother was crying. I remember this vividly. She was crying, and it was clear that she felt like she had no control. And so she did not want to put me in special education, but these were the experts. This is what they told her needed to happen, and she relented. You know, fast forward 25 years, my daughter was in school, it was like fourth grade or something, and we had moved across the country, and she was having a challenging time. And I remember the administrators calling me in and saying, yeah, you know, we think Chloe would benefit, that's my daughter, from special education. And, you know, I politely listened, and I said, well, I really appreciate your input, but this is what we're going to do. I am the general manager of my daughter's education, and you are the head coaches and people that I engage, but I will make the final decisions. And afterwards, I got an email from, it was the only other African-American in that room. She was like one of the school social workers, and she sent me this email and said, I have never seen a parent advocate for their kid the way that you have. And we need to empower every parent to do that. And that's simply not the case right now.
And through Century Promise, through involvement, through this community coming together, you're going to be able to do that. And we're excited about that opportunity. Yusuf, as you think about your work going forward, you've lived in the Valley 5 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
How optimistic are you that we're going to be successful? And how long do you think it might take?
Well, so first of all, this is a journey that's never going to end. As far as my optimism, I would not have engaged in this work unless I thought we had a chance. And so I'm 100% confident, because I'm not in the business of failing, and neither are most of the folks involved in this effort. We are going to make progress. And what's most exciting for me is I'm confident that we will have an impact, but it's not just an impact at this moment. When you change the trajectory of somebody's life through the power of transformation and education, it's not only them, it's generations after them. My father was in prison. His father was in prison. I went to college, have an advanced degree. I'm confident my daughter will. In one generation, that's what we were able to change. And that's what excites me about this opportunity, because we are going to do that for a lot of families in the Lehigh
Valley.
Absolutely.
You broke the cycle, and others are going to learn from that. Yusuf, how can our community support you? How can people get involved?
Yes. So this is a collab. This is a public-private partnership. If you attend the school district, you know, get involved with us. If you're a local employer, if this is all about helping students and families identify pathways for success after high school graduation. And so, you know, engage with us, whatever your level of expertise, but we need mentors. We need folks who are ready to roll up their sleeves and tackle this tough problem.
Awesome. I know you mentioned Career Pathways, and certainly there are other organizations that I know you're partnering with. Workforce Board, Lehigh Valley certainly is one, United Way is another. So certainly we have the right people at the table, and seems like there's lots of opportunity for those who want to be more invested in kids in Allentown. Where could people go to learn a little bit more?
They can go to centurypromise.org. That's our website. They can sign up for our newsletter to stay informed in terms of what's happening. They can reach out to me directly. But I would love for them to, you know, follow us on social media. There's numerous ways to stay engaged with us. But I would definitely encourage them to reach out.
Great. Yusuf, you are such an unusual background. Your career experiences, your mindset, your willingness to take such a risk in the Century Promise, but you are bringing all those right skills and certainly inspiration and ideas to this role. And I know on behalf of the entire community, we're excited about that. So thank you so much for being with us today. Is there anything else we should know before we end our time together?
Well, so I'm incredibly thankful to lead this initiative, but I want to make one thing clear, because I love that you think so highly of me, and I really appreciate that. But it's when I first started the entrepreneurship program at Lafayette College, you know, I would talk to people in the community, the alumni, and I would say, if you're waiting for me to solve this tough problem, pack up your tent and head home now. This is a community effort, and what I will focus on doing and what will make us successful. is I will rally all of these partners like you've talked about. I will bring a focus to a lot of the disparate efforts underway right now that puts the student at the center. And if we do that, we will be successful. So it's less about me and it's about this community.
So well said. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us. Listeners, as you know, we've been speaking with Yusuf Dahl, the new, brand new, executive director of the Century Promise in support of Allentown School District students. We're going to take a short break, and coming up next is Dr. Joseph Roy of Bethlehem Area School District. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Psst! Did you know your phone is a radio? You can tune into WDIY anywhere, on the go, with WDIY's phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google store and turn your phone into your trusted public radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone, live, and play all your favorite music programs on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Laurie Hackett, and tonight my guest is Dr. Joe Roy, Superintendent of Bethlehem Area School District. Good evening, Dr. Roy, and welcome.
Laurie, thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. We're excited. You know, this is a new program, and this is only our second episode, and so we wanted to include people who are making a real difference across the valley. We're focusing on nonprofits. We're focusing on organizations where people can get involved through community and organizations that are really making a difference. And certainly, you are doing that with Bethlehem Area School District.
Well, thank you very much. Honored to be on your second show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Let's jump right in, Joe, and talk about Bethlehem Area School District. What is it that makes it so special?
Tradition and a sense of history. When I've worked in a number of different districts over the years, and there is just something different about Bethlehem Area School District compared to other places I've been, where there's such a deep sense of tradition, history, loyalty, generations of community members who have gone through the school district and have that commitment still.
Why do you think that is? What is it about being, you know, a school district alum that makes people feel so connected?
That's a great question. I think because there are strong traditions across the district, whether it's from the fifth grade track meet that people in their 40s and 50s will talk about their experience in the fifth grade track meet, or the all-city band concert with the middle schools, and of course the high school traditions and in our arts program and the bands and so forth. There's just there's a commitment. And I think also we're large, but we're small enough that people know each other. And there are, you know, BASD grads all around the world, but most of them still have some roots, some connection to the district. And I think that that just kind of cycle breeds that loyalty and tradition. It's pretty awesome.
And, you know, I think also the district itself, you and your colleagues do such a nice job of celebrating graduates and current students and teachers and faculty and staff. Why do you choose to do that?
Yeah. Well, it's incredibly important for a school district to have the support of the community, right? We depend on the community for support. And so it's our, so really in over the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, with the our use of social media has made it so much easier to get the good word out. Barbara Clymer in my office is our communications coordinator and kind of is the in the control center with that. But there are so many cool stories about kids and teachers. We can't get them all out, but we try to get out to show the community this is what's going on, and for people to see, this is my kids, these are my grandkids. Oh, I know that. Those are my neighbors. Well, I go to church with them. So the community sees the connections.
And you talked about relationships and community. There's such a spirit of collaboration in Bethlehem, and I know you personally are a big collaborator. You are one of the leaders that I've seen, that I've known, that knows what you know and knows where you when you need to bring in other partners. Could you give us a couple of examples of some exciting collaborations?
Yeah, one of my favorite lines is, you know, stay in your lane. Yeah. Like, stick with what you know. We do education, but our challenges and the challenges our kids face spill well beyond education. So you can't ignore the health and well-being of students, mental health and physical health. Mm-hmm. So we have great partnerships with St. Luke's in particular on the medical side, and great partnerships. Really, we've invested a lot over the last few years in mental health services and growing our services. And in partnership with Lehigh Valley Health Network, with St. Luke's, and particularly with Pinebrook Family Answers and Communities in Schools, to provide in-school supports for families and kids who need it. So we reach out to, you know, that's not our thing. We're not a mental health, or we're a health agency, so we need those supports. And that's just a couple of the dozens and dozens of partners that we have.
Great. And I know you also have a foundation. So there's the Bethel Maria School District Foundation that also does a lot of outreach in partnership with you. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Foundation for the Bethlehem Area School District is a nonprofit organization that exists to support the efforts in the district. Mm-hmm. So the fundraising that goes on there is often used as seed money for innovative projects, for our project Lead the Way Engineering when that started, teacher mini grants, so teachers can have a little bit of money to try something innovative, and also helps pay the cost of field trip costs, mm-hmm. to get back, talking about tradition and history, but get back to fourth and fifth grade field trips that had been cut from the budget years ago to go to down to the steel and learn about the history of steel, or to the canal, the Freemansburg Canal, and learn the history of industrialization. So the foundation has helped make that money available. Because we're big, so nothing's easy. We say, oh, let's take fourth graders to the Freemansburg Canal. Well, that's 1,000 kids. We don't take them all at the same time, mind you. But just the busing to do that is expensive. So the foundation supports those efforts. And it also is another way to get the good word out and for people to be able to connect with the district in either through supporting activities or through financial contributions.
And just to ask this question, the foundation has its own set of directors, mm-hmm. is that correct, volunteers?
Yeah, the foundation is an independent nonprofit with its own board of directors, which represents the community and comes from all different parts of our community. And so it's a great relationship in that they support funding, which is helpful, any stream of revenue. But they're also, those board of trustees are also out there building relationships.
And, you know, so many school districts have set up foundations and have nonprofit foundations. Bethlehem just seems like such a shining example of the work that they do, the energy that they have really does go to support the mission and purpose of BASD.
Yeah, interestingly, there's in a lot of districts, the relationship between the district leadership and the foundation aren't aligned. Mm-hmm. So we've been fortunate, and our foundation had been dormant for a number of years when I was first in as superintendent. So we've worked to rebuild that and really expand the board and have a true board reflective of the great variety of interests in our community. And I think that because we've worked so collaboratively to grow it, we just have a well-aligned mission. There's nothing, the foundation exists to support the district, mm-hmm. not to do things on its own. And in other places, I think that alignment doesn't always exist.
And I know Julie Bailey, as executive director, does a marvelous job in community representing.
Julie has done a great job, mm-hmm. of building the partnerships, mm-hmm. Building the sponsorships over time. And that's really, you know, that's a whole nother positive to the work of the district. Mm-hmm.
Joe, your role as superintendent, we've known each other a long time. I knew you when you were a teacher. And this is such a big role for you. And I think we see you on the videos. We read about you in the paper. We'd love to spend a couple of minutes on you, the superintendent. What experiences brought you to this position?
You remember me as a teacher. I have a hard time going back that far and remembering being a teacher. But so I did a pretty traditional route. You know, I was a teacher. I was an assistant principal at Liberty. Mm-hmm. I was a principal at a couple of high schools in Bucks and Montgomery County. But always in the back of my head was, if I wanted to be a superintendent, and I wasn't sure because I love being a high school principal, if I was going to be a superintendent, Bethlehem was the place, because my few years here as an assistant principal, that's where I felt that tradition and that sense of loyalty. And so I always thought, well, if I was going to go for that, you know, Bethlehem would be the place. And things work out in life sometimes, and this is my 12th year here now. My family, education runs in my family. My father was a teacher and a high school principal. He was my high school principal. I was high school principal for my older daughters when they were in high school. And now I'm the superintendent for my younger daughter. So that's a different show you can do to talk to them about the emotional scars of having your dad be the principal.
We'll bring the whole Roy family in to get those experiences. And I also know you were superintendent of the year a couple of years ago for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that was, you know, an incredible honor. And I think it reflected the work of everybody in the district to go from where we were a decade plus ago, mm-hmm. financially on the cliff, disorganized educationally. And we've been able to, you know, move the district to a place where we're finding success, we're financially secure, we've got great relationships with our community partners. And so I took that recognition as a tremendous honor, but obviously in a district this size, it's more than one person. And we have great people mm-hmm. across the district in all the roles that really make my job so much easier.
When you think about all of the roles that you play as superintendent, the hats you have to wear, what is it that you love the most?
Well, there's nothing more enjoyable than going to a kindergarten class.
Ah.
I was just visiting Thomas Jefferson Elementary School this week. You go in, they introduce me. The kids have no idea what superintendent means, nor do they care, but they were really interested in my socks. So I got to put my foot up on the desk and show them luckily I had some nice fancy socks on that day, you know. So they're into socks in that kindergarten class. And then, you know, you have a couple conversations. Kids are telling you about their pets, about whatever. And then I say to the teacher, thanks. And I leave after completely disrupting the class. That's just so fulfilling. Last week, we had the All-City Middle School Band Concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there in the audience and I see all the family members, the parents, the younger siblings, the grandparents. And I see the banners for all four of our middle schools across the top of the stage. And we have kids from all four middle schools performing together as a band. And I literally sit back and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't get better than this.
Mm-hmm. And I get to do this. And every day you get to do that.
It is wonderful, yeah.
You know, Bethlehem is such a city of tradition. And the district certainly holds those same values. How can the community get involved with Bethlehem School District?
Yeah. Well, first, we need to recognize the community is incredibly involved already. And I mean, the number of partnerships we have across every school, across every area is just incredible. And we can't do it without those partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our lane is education, but all the supports from all the other partners across the community. But I think if there are organizations or groups that are interested in particular partnerships that aren't connected, a lot of times they happen at the school level because somebody knows a connection mm-hmm. to that school. Our community schools, and thank you for helping to lead the way for Thomas Jefferson to become a community school this year, have community school coordinators. It's their job to reach out and partner. So they're always looking. But if there's an organization, a business that would like to connect more, reaching out to my office is probably the best way. And then we can, depending on the interest, connect them to the right school or class. Every day there are dozens of things that happen in the schools because of the partnerships.
And I'm guessing as our world starts to open back up, we're going to have more of those opportunities for people to get engaged.
Yeah, that's been slowly happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, with after school activities coming back, evening activities. We've been cracking the door more and more, and we're close to getting back to really saying, you know, we can have the volunteers in when they are there, when they're available for in-school, after-school activities.
And we know that, and you just said it, community service and commitment is certainly a value of the district. And we know that students also participate in a lot of community service activities. Are there opportunities for our listeners, maybe some of our nonprofit partners, to be a source of community service opportunities for your students?
That's a great question. Thank you. Yeah, we're one of the few districts in the state or anywhere that has a community service requirement for graduation. Because this district has always believed, and I think it goes to the core and the culture of the city and the community, that service to community is important. It's not just about you. And teenagers in particular, or perhaps all of us, can be, you know, self-focused. And so the teaching kids that it's not just about you, it's about what do you do for your community is really important. I think a key role of public education. So we have community service requirement. So we have dozens of nonprofits that are approved so that if a child says, where could I go? We can say, here, what are you interested in? Mm-hmm. We're connecting those opportunities to our career pathways. So if a child is interested in science or medicine, we can connect them with the right partner. So if there are organizations that are looking for help, again, probably the easiest way right now is to contact my office. And we have a community service coordinator who handles all of that.
Great. Is there a phone number or an email address you could provide so that our listeners would be able to reach out?
I'm going to put our communications coordinator on the line here. So the email would be bclymer, B-C-L-Y-M-E-R, at basdschools.org. And Barb can connect people with whomever they need to be connected with, or just call the superintendent's
right.
office.
And I know many of us in community have worked with Barbara Clymer,
yes.
and she is certainly a wonderful ambassador and representative of the district and of your office.
She's the connector.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, thanks. You've been a friend to many, a leader to many, and really made a difference in so many lives of students and of families throughout the district and throughout the city. So thank you so much for being with us today, Joe.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you, listeners, for making time for this important conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Laurie Hackett, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Please tune in next Monday for more WDIY public affairs programming. And we look forward to seeing you next time on A Closer Look.
WDIY, many choices, real voices.